What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
We are back from the horse's mouth, looking ahead to day three at the Aintree Festival, which of course features the Grand National. My name is Patrick Kennelly. I am in the company of Rory DeLargy and Joe Logue. I hope you listened to all of the winners we gave on Thursday and Friday. And as Joe laughs, yes, we're recording Thursday, 1 o'clock. So we have yet to see a single race at the festival. We're going to tip up seven winners on the Saturday because biases can appear, and maybe those biases won't be any use to you. So, you know, you've got a nice kind of angle here where you don't know what's happening on the front. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Joe, how are you? As always, are you well?
Yeah, very good. Nothing's changed in the last 2 minutes, so all good.
Yeah, the fourth wall disappears as we literally just finished recording day two podcast. Rory, since I last spoke to you, has anything happened in your life?
Charlie Madge came in and knocked on the door and said hello, and I said, I'm doing a podcast, Charlie, and he went away again.
Good stuff.
Aside from that,
excellent. You're well in control of the kids there, to be fair.
Charlie Madge is my 75-year-old next-door neighbour, not my
right.
son. Yeah.
I didn't hear the Madge part, but okay. Why is the 75-year-old neighbour just knocking in, looking for milk?
He tends to just come in, to be perfectly honest. So usually it's either, I'm doing a podcast, Charlie, or I'm not wearing any trousers, Charlie, you know, one of the two, but...
Does he still come in after you shout, you've no trousers on?
I'm doing a podcast without any trousers on, Charlie.
Well, as long as he takes the hint and doesn't actually appear after you've given him those messages. You've some notes from producer Mark and producer Kira. Six places on the national, which we'll be talking about later on. Of course, don't forget that we are paying six places and plenty of you will be getting stuck into that. The Punters panel episode that's live on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel is fantastic. Mick Fitz, the star of the show, but Ruby and Frank were there as well. Really good questions. And on that channel, check out Finders Keepers every morning of Aintree, where we will be dishing out money $5,000 at a time into various Paddy Power accounts. All you got to do, watch the show, and hopefully your account will the $5,000 will drop into. And all you got to do is withdraw it. So that's simple as that's 8:30 on Saturday morning. Horsepower, definitely worth checking out if you haven't already. That's horsepower.co.uk. Really good BHA website, or inspired by the BHA and others. I know Ken Blake on the Betfair team has been very heavy in that as well. And cheat sheets, no Ruby Walsh here, but loads of Ruby and others, including Patrick Mullins, available on the Paddy Power News website. Again, just put in News Paddy Power into Google and it'll pop up, and they've got all the selections for entry. Okay, that's it. Done. Notes. I love that part of the show. It's my favorite part of the show. It really is. Right, let's talk Saturday racing and let's talk winners. The 120 is our first race on Saturday. It is the handicap hurdle over 3 miles. I suppose there's no equivalent race at Cheltenham because you don't have to qualify for this race like you do the pretemps. West Balboa, look at this. Skelton's at it again. 11s, 8s, 6s, 5-1 now for West Balboa with form figures of 0, 8, 6. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Skelton trains it. 6-1, Cuthbert Dibble. Gwenny May Boy for Dan Skelton. 6-1. Johnny Who for the John Joe Neal team is 13-2. 8-1, Mamara. And 10s bar. Is West Balboa a handicap lot, Rory DeLargy?
She's not a blot. She's 1-4-1. She won this race off 6 pound lower last year. So she's not absolutely thrown in. And the question is how much I think she's going to improve for the run last time out. She'll benefit from the return to this trip. That's definitely the case. And she's got no problem on heavy ground. She was a winner of the Lanzarote last year on ground that was barely raceable. I think only three horses in a massive field finished that day. Which I remember very well because I backed the horse that would have finished fourth. He pulled up before the last at 33s each way. And she's got a very good chance. But as I said, with his runner Katira on Friday, the market has cottoned on to the fact that the Dan's got them laid out. And, you know, if you hark back to Cheltenham, you were getting reasonable prices about even Langer Dan. Unexpected Party was a good price in the Grand Daniel, who'd been absolutely laid out for that as well. And Dan was pretty straightforward that he thought he had the horse in the right conditions for the first time. So, you know, it's a little bit after the Lord Mayor's show with the skeleton runners, but at the same time, you know perfectly well they have been prepared with the entry in mind, and you have to respect them as a result. So I do like West Balboa's chance, but I think she's probably slightly underpriced here as a result. It's not like she's completely under the radar. We, you know, she's been running in good company for a couple of seasons. We know exactly what she's capable of. 141 is the right sort of mark for her, and she's capable of winning, but you know, the market knows that. I didn't find that this a particularly easy race. The one thing I didn't think it was massively competitive. I thought there were a few, you know, quite a lot of horses with a little bit to prove in the race. And the two I liked at double figure prices, well, I say double figure prices, I'll have to check one of those. Johnson's Blue I quite liked. He won at Doncaster last time, and it's, you can easily say that he's harshly treated by the handicap and having got up £5 for winning that race, because he wouldn't have won had the leader not fallen at the second last hurdle that day. He'd made the running. That absolute pig of Henry Daly's had come to win the race. I forget his name, in the Trevor Hemmings colours. Horse with a lot of ability, but just a bit of a monkey. He was wearing a visor for the first time, Bridge North. And he was looking a reformed character when he came down at the second last. He's been beaten since, by the way. And Johnson's Blue has gone up £5 for that. But he was 11 lengths clear of the third. That was his first run since an abortive chase debut at Kelso in September. So only his second run since winning a pretense qualifier in good style at Haydock last season. And he's entitled to improve for it. He impressed me when he won at Haydock in February. Made all the running that February last year, that is. Made all the running that day to beat the Changing Man, who I really fancied for the pretense, and ran pretty well in the final itself. So although he's gone up in the race, I thought Johnson's Blue would remain competitive, and there should still be a bit more to come from him. He's well suited by a flat left-handed track on soft ground as well, as he's shown both at Doncaster last time and in that Haydock race. So Aintree should be ideal for him, and he would be top of my list. And the other one I would consider there, what price is Honor Grey?
14s.
Yeah, I think you can argue Honor Grey should be a little bit shorter as well. He strictly on the ratings, he needs to improve a little bit, but he's won four of his last five. Going back, 18 months or so, he made a winning reappearance off a long break at Ascot last time out. Prior to that, he was a course and distance winner here off an £8 lower mark, returned from that absence to win very gamely at Ascot from Supreme Gift, and should come on from that. Ben Pauling has done just really, really well with his handicap hurdlers, particularly since the turn of the year. And I think he's probably got a few who'll do well at this meeting. And Honor Grey, I thought, deserved to be a little bit shorter than 14s based on the pattern of his form and the fact that there's a chance that he'll improve for that run given the length of his break. I suppose a few people might worry about him bouncing off that, but he's been given plenty of time to recover and wasn't tempted to get him qualified for the pretemps. And I think Honor Grey will run really well. So that'd be my two against the field in a very tough race.
Lovely. Hate the spelling of Honor Grey. They've left out the U, they've gone the American spelling of Honor, and it just breaking out in hives here, lads. Right, so Johnson's Blue and Honor Grey for Rory. Joe?
Thought it was tough as well, and obviously going through the Racing Post without prices, looking for my selection, and first one I came down on was West Balboa, favourite. Cuthbert Dibble, my second option, second favourite, and then went to Gwenny May Boy, third favourite. So I said, right, I'll stick with my first option. And look, we discussed West Balboa on yesterday's pod. And look, again, like, stood out a mile. Skelton's absolutely bomb. I think he had a three-timer yesterday in Market Raisin, I think it was. So, yeah, look, she was kind of put up as a stairs hurdle horse to start the year. She won a conditions hurdle at Aintree, beating Brewing Up a Storm by 12 lengths, getting plenty of weight that day. And then sent off 3-1 favourite for the long walk hurdle at Ascot. And that was supposed to be the road to the stairs hurdle for her. But she was really keen that day. She's ridden held up and just kind of never got into the race, and the plan kind of fell apart. I think Skelton kind of redirected her then, and Tristan Durrell took a ride at Sandown. She was never really put in the race, and then Keenan Woods took a ride, and again she was never really put in the race, and she just looks like she's being laid out for this. I think it's hard enough to oppose her, even though there is a huge field to pass by for her. But I think she's entitled to improve. Like Rory said, she won this last year off 135. She's 141 now. I think she's, you know, entitled to have improved naturally now, rising eight, or turning eight even. And Yeah, look, I just think it's very hard to oppose the Skeletons in these handicap hurdles. You have to respect them. He's obviously going for champion trainer and you know, putting all his eggs in the basket of big handicap hurdles. He's laying them out and, yeah, look, stands out a mile. I think West Balboa is the one to beat here and she's the one I'm siding with.
All right, sticking with her. West Balboa and, as mentioned, Johnson's Blue and Honor Grade Each Way prices for Rory. That's the opener. Move on to the 155, the first of the grade ones on Saturday. It's the Mersey Novice Hurdle. And, ooh, look at this. Brighter days ahead. Looking for compensation. The 15-8 joint favourite. And Gordon Elliott. My God, if he gets beaten with the mare he loves so much by a horse who he also loves so much but doesn't represent him anymore in Caldwell Potter, who now, of course, runs in the Hale Silks with Paul Nicholls, the joint favourite. Then you've got Willie Mullins, double-pronged with Jimmy DeSoy and Eel Atlantique at 11-2 and 13-2, and then 16's bar. I have to go straight to you, Rory, because Brighter Days Ahead against the boys, but you do think a lot of her. I'll tell you what, Rory's just muted himself, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll fix Rory's mic, and I'll go to Joe. Joe, your thoughts on the Mersey?
Yeah, look, it's a cracking race, really. It's interesting. We'll see over the next couple of days, like we said, we're recording here Thursday, how Gordon's are running. He is two really well thought of horses here. And like you said, he formerly had Caldwell Potter, but Brighter Days Ahead, obviously, everyone's familiar with her, has a huge reputation, well fancied for the Mare's Novice at Cheltenham. And Jack Kennedy said that they didn't go quick enough for her. That was over 2 miles. She was winning over 2.5 miles at Navan, yes, before that. So look, she is a stayer. There's no secret there. She steps back up to 2.5 miles here on soft ground and you know, is rightfully towards the front of the market. Although I've tipped the Gordon Elliott horse already. I don't think I'd want to be taking a very short price about them, to be honest. I'd like to see them go and win a couple of races before I do that. We don't have that luxury now. So she's one that I'd be looking to avoid. Staffordshire Knot is very interesting again for the same yard. He's a much bigger price. 16s, I think, currently. He was smashed off the boards at Thurles. Is the Mercedes-Benz Grade 3 won by Largy Hill? Or is the Michael Purcell, sorry? And look, Jack apparently came back and said that he didn't handle the track that day. Thurles is a kind of a funny old track. It's tight enough. And this guy looks a real horse for the future, kind of a big lump, pure, you know, Gigginstown type of horse. Aintree is kind of a bit tight, but it's look, it's nothing like Thurles. I think he should run very well at a price, but again, worried about stable form. But look, Caldwell Potter is the one for me. I'm absolutely in love with this horse. He's a top notcher in Ireland, and obviously had to go to the sales, and you know, they've forked out over 700 grand, I think, from, and Nicol said straight away that he's skipping Cheltenham and Aintree's the plan, and he shows up here, which is a huge positive. He's going to be fresh. He's going to be targeted at this. He would have had time to settle into new yards and kind of get over the whole ordeal of the sales, which, you know, again, could be used as an excuse for Staffordshire Knot. But for Caldwell Potter, the trip is perfect for him. The ground is perfect. It's going to be proper testing here and his best form in Ireland's on proper winter ground at tracks like Navan when he won his maiden hurdle. And like, there was no doubt who was going to win it before it. He was absolutely smashed off the boards and then backed it up in Grade 1 company at Christmas in Leopardstown, which is always good to see. And look, he's a huge, a high ceiling. The form maybe could be a little bit better at the race at Christmas. Obviously, Predator's Gold is second that day. There was only kind of two of them in it, and Predator's Gold is turned over to DRF. But yeah, look, I think he's had plenty of time to kind of get over the sales, get over the yard switch. Nicol said straight away he's going to be aimed at this. I think he's, yeah, like I said, a proper top notcher. I think he's the one to beat here, and I could see him going off shorter than 15-80 is currently.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, we're back, and Rory De Largy has fixed the microphone, albeit we don't know what happened to the microphone, which is never ideal. Right, when we left you, Rory, Joe had mentioned that Caldwell Potter, big fan.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan. My approach to this race is hopefully Gordon gets a winner with one of his fancied horses in the first couple of days. If, and at the time of speaking, Jerry Colomb is weak in the betting for his run on the ball, which we won't know the result of. And if he disappoints there, you'd have to be worried about the horses. But I'm hoping that that either Jerry Colomb or one of Gordon's other obvious candidates shows the team to be in decent form. And if that's the case, I'll be backing Brighter Days Ahead here. be interesting to see how she goes in the market. She is, of course, also a half sister to Caldwell Potter. Worth pointing that out. There's very little between them on the ratings. He's rated a pound higher than her, but my standpoint on her from day one has been that she has just enormous potential, and we just scratched the surface so far. So she won the Apples Jade the other day. It was Cheltenham was a farrago for me. Again, you know, we've touched on that. It became a tactical race, which didn't suit her. And she's ended up getting blindsided by Golden Ace or Golden Love or whatever she's called. But she's better than that. And if she just wants to be made use of. She wants to go out in front and make the running here, in my view. I think she's a horse you don't want to mess around with at all. She's a dawn run, effectively, is what I'm going to say about her. In every possible sense. And I hope that she's healthy enough to run. And if she is, I expect her to win and win well. Obviously, the stable form stops me being super confident about that at this stage, but hopefully the signs will be better by Saturday and I'll be getting stuck in.
You just had your Nicky Henderson fish cake moment there, you know that? Golden Ace, but whatever he's called, like, yeah, whatever she's called, yeah, fish pond, yeah, pond fish, whatever. right, okay, brighter days ahead. We hope that the Elliott team are in good form and she can show exactly what she's made of. Caldwell Potter for Joe, fascinating novice hurdle, due off at 155. Really looking forward to the Mersey. On to the handicap chase over 3 miles and a furlong. To Cribilly is the favourite. Lots to talk about him going into Cheltenham. And he ran well. He just bumped into Shake Him Up Harry, who may well have won at the Aintree Festival by now. It's 5-1, the King of Rye Hope. Forward Plan, Francie Honeyball, 6-1. Twig for Ben Pauling. He ran a huge race at Cheltenham behind County Classico, who also may well have won at Aintree by now. 7-1 Cruise Control, and it's double figure odds the rest. Right, Rory, off you go.
Tough race, as you would expect. I thought the value lay with Forward Plan here for Anthony Honeyball and regular rider Ben Godfrey. So I wouldn't read too much into the riding plans for the Honeyball horses. He's a horse who tends to be strong at the end of his races. He's largely progressive. He just needed the run on his return in the Badger Beer at Wincanton. He moved up going well there from the rear of the field and then didn't get home. And he's built on that in every run since. He was winner at Doncaster over 3 miles, then just got touched off, finishing best of all in the Sky Bet Chase at Doncaster on his next start. And then went on to win another high-profile race, what was the Racing Post Chase back in the day, at Kendal, which is now what the Coral something or other, Coral Trophy Handicap Chase, where he was maybe only fifth jumping the last, but really flew home to win. And what he wants is a little bit of a stiffer test than a dead 3 miles, which he gets here. His run style is ideal for it. He's a sound jumper who finds plenty for pressure as a rule. And I see no reason why the handicapper should have got him now. He's only £5 higher than he was for his reappearance. And he seems to have come on leaps and bounds in his last three runs. So he still looks well handicapped to me with 10 stone 11 on his back. The extra furlong or so here will help. And Ben Godfrey knows him very well. So ticks all the boxes for me.
Forward Plan for Rory. Joe Logue.
Yeah, this is the race on Saturday that I'd be least strongest on. I thought it was tough, but as a selection, Twig is the one I'd side for. He's about 6-1 again. It's not a World Cup price. It's probably shorter than ideal, but I think he's a solid horse. He's very consistent, winning twice at the end of last season and then came out of Cheltenham October meet and was beaten 3 lengths by Wacker Clan, who ran a cracker in the Kim Muir coming third. And then they sent Twig off 9-1 for the Carl Trophy at Newbury in December. And
I sent Twig off at 9-1 for the Carl Trophy.
Burned fingers. He was way down the field. But look, they freshened him up, put him away for the winter, and brought him back out at the Cheltenham Festival, where he came second and ran a cracker to County Classico off a mark of 143s off 147 here. It's not too stiff of a hike. He's a horse that runs his race, like I said. And look, he could be second behind a Grade One winner by the time this race is run. So look, it's hard to know, but it's not a race I have a strong view on, but Twig is the selection.
That's fine. Four Plan and Twig for the lads in the 2:30 at Aintree. On to the race before the National, which as always, or at least recent history has been the Liverpool hurdle, the staying hurdle of Aintree Flooring Porter. It's a shame Tio Pooh doesn't run, but he doesn't. Flooring Porter, who of course was closest to Tio Pooh at Cheltenham, is your 11-4 favourite opening show. 6-1 sire de Burleigh, 12 years young, and winner of the race last year. 13-2 Crambo for Fergal O'Brien. Jonathan Burke rides. I assume Paddy Brennan's ban must kick in at this stage. I'm not sure if that's the case. 7-1 Hidden Valley Lake. Botox is 8-1. Buddy One is also 8-1. 9-1 strong leader. And there's Elf Fish Cake himself, Monkfish at 10s. All right, Joe, the Liverpool hurdle.
I think Paddy Brennan still is riding. I think it's just Johnny Burke is regular rider for Crambo, as far as I know. I think that's owner's call, I think.
Okay, but you're dead right. Yeah, I don't see Paddy Brennan having ridden him at all. So
yeah, so I wouldn't be too off put by that or anything. I think he's a regular rider. I thought this was a race that is tough, but I think you can knock a few of them here. I thought Buddy One ran a cracker in the stairs, to be fair. I'd like to see him back it up, and certainly wouldn't be one that I'd be siding with. Botox Has is very solid. And to be honest with you, I'm maybe it's wrong to do, but I'm kind of eliminating some of the old boys here. Drashel, Drasher, Champ, Hewick. Like, this is plan Z for Hewick. First it was Cheltenham Gold Cup, then it was Aintree Grand National, then it was the Bowl, and then it's here over hurdles. It's just like, has to be a huge negative. Monkfish again is one that has been fairly disappointing since, you know, he did show a bit at Goring in the, I think it was the Red Mills that day, was it? I'm going for one here. I've actually backed this lad already at 14s. So I'm kind of on my high horse here. Hidden Valley Lake for Rob Core team. Obviously, like you said, Tiupu and Irish Point don't show up. Rachel taking the ride, and he's a horse that's still very unexposed. Look, he's good form to his name, beating Cool Survivor over hurdles in a grade three in Mallow before being turned over last season at short odds to Monty Starr in the Mercedes-Benz of Clonmel. He was kind of well touted for the Albert Barta last year, but you know, that kind of knocked his reputation a small bit, being turned over at Clonmel, and then look, he ran down the field in the Albert Bartlett, but things haven't really gone to plan. He's kind of missed a bit of time here and there. He mightn't be the easiest to train, but I thought he was really good last time out, winning the Boyne Hurdle. De Capo Beacon Edge was in second, De Capo Glory's in third, and De Capo Glory ran a cracker in the Carl Cup after being in the kind of the box seat the whole way. Rob Core are kind of spoiled with choice in this kind of a division here. They have so many horses that are a similar type. I think it's a big vote of confidence that they've just had the one bullet here with a Hidden Valley Lake. Yeah, like I said, he's totally unexposed and he looks tailor-made for this. I think he's a cracking bet.
You snuck in that I've backed him at 14s, Joe. The trumpet goes. Well done. Let's see what happens with Hidden Valley Lake. 7-1 at the time of recording. All right, Rory, your take on the Liverpool hurdle?
Yeah, more negatives than positives in this race. And that's generally been the case in the Stayers division. The fact that I thought Sire de Burleigh might be the bet here tells you what I thought of the race. Easy to ground in circles. He would have needed his first two runs this season because he's always quite stuffy. Sire de Burleigh, I thought he ran very well in the Stayers last time out, so I can see him still playing a part. But, you know, he's 6-1 as a 12-year-old in the Grade One for a yard that's out of form. So you know you can't really. You really want to see something coming through and showing improved form here. I think Joe's landed on one of the obvious ones in that regard in Hidden Valley Lake. I completely agree with everything he said about the horse. He's thoroughly unexposed because chasing was put on the back shelf very quickly after one run. Both he and Monty Starr, they basically took each other out, didn't they, at Clonmel last season, and both of them ran below form in the Albert Bartlett. Monty Starr has shown that, you know, they're both very good horses and given a bit of a break coming through. I can see Hidden Valley Lake doing better. I don't think the Boyne Hurdle form is very good, though. That's the only thing. And he's, again, he's quite well found in the market at the prices. I'm not going to have a bet in this race as it stands at the moment, but I will put up a different selection on similar sort of grounds. I didn't think Crambo had the chance the market suggested in the Stairs Hurdle last time out. With his win in the long walk, again being against the old timers, and he is a horse who probably needs a little bit more experience, or needed a little bit more experience there to show what he could do. With that run behind him, I see him running a lot better. He's run well at the entry before. He was well beaten in the Grade One novice over 2.5 miles here last season, but he was hampered in the run and shaped an awful lot better than the distance beaten suggested. And then he absolutely bolted up on his reappearance here on soft ground over 2.5 miles. So the track suits him well. Whether he's really a grade one horse at this stage is a question mark, but it's a question you can put to every single runner in this race at the moment. But, you know, bar Flooring Porter and Sarah de Berlay, who have been there and done it and are maybe just slightly on the downgrade. Flooring Porter got a lovely ride in the stairs hurdle last time out, just like he did when he won the race a couple of years ago. But he was beaten here after that, and it's asking a lot for him to go and win again. So I'll put Crambo forward as a selection, but it'll be, you might get 50p out of me at this stage. I don't think I'll be having a big bet.
Tokenist of token selections there with Crambo, but Hidden Valley Lake certainly stronger from Joe. All right, that leads us all the way up to the Grand National. 6 places each way for the National. Not only do we want the winner, folks, you're going to give us the tricast as well. In the correct order, please, as well, the tricast. Just a quick check on the betting on Thursday afternoon, just about an hour or 2 hours after the decks came through. 5-1 Corak Rambler, 7-1 I Am Maximus, 8-1 Meeting of the Waters, 9's Vanillier, 10-1 Panda Boy, and then you've got double figure odds, including Mark Walsh on Limerick Lace at 14-1, Manila Indo for Rachel at 16-1, Delta Work, Class Animal 20-1, Noble Yates is 20-1 as well, and then a horse who sent off 10-1 for the race last year, but it's 5 times bigger this year. Ain't that a shame? Is that how bad poor old David Maxwell is? Is he 5 times worse than Rachel Blackmore? I don't know, but ain't that a shame, 50-1. Okay, lads. First off, I'd like a winner, and then we'll go into your tricast. So winner of the Grand National 2024, Rory DeLargy, is...
Panda Boy.
Why?
Well, you want to know why as well, really?
We may as well. Okay.
I've been sweet on Panda Boy for a long time. He's got the perfect profile. He's an 8-year-old who was not been far in the Irish National last season. The previous year's Irish Nationals is the perfect sounding board, if you like, for future Grand National horses. Since then, he has finished second in the Paddy Power Handicap Chase at Leopardstown at Christmas, having finished third in the same race the previous season. Obviously, higher in the weights. He was giving lumps of weight to Meeting of the Waters that day and is much better off at the weights now. And then he typically reverted to hurdles next time for his final prep run and ran a cracker there, one beaten just over... beaten 2.25 lengths and a competitive handicap at the Dublin Racing Festival. Martin Brassel is as good a trainer as there has been in a long time for preparing horses for the Grand National. I know he's only got one win to his name in it, but you know, the guy's very, very, very good at laying a horse like this out. And I love the fact that Panda Boy was always going to be right on the cutoff. You know, he might get in the race, he might not get in the race. Wasn't entered in the Irish National, wasn't entered in the Scottish National, wasn't entered in the Topham, wasn't entered in the Bet365 Gold Cup. No entries at all. Wasn't entered in, I think he was entered briefly at Cheltenham for one of the handicaps, but came out before the confirmations. So basically, this has been the only race for him all season, and Martin Brassel has not wanted to be deflected from that at all. 10-7 on his back, right at the bottom of the weights, jumps well, stays, all the attributes. And I think you need to be low down the weights, ideally, in a race. I think it's very hard to carry weights still in the Grand National. That period where the handicapper was given, you know, top-class horses a real chance by dropping them 5 or 6 pounds, that era is gone as well. And I think even though, you know, you get some good horses towards the top of the weights here, I think it's horses who've been laid out for the National and get in towards the bottom of the weights are the ones you want to concentrate on. And Panda Boy just hits all the targets for me.
Thank you very much. That's a solid reason why Panda Boy will win. I'll come back for your tricast. Joe Logue, winner of the National, please.
Going for one that's high in the weights, which, again, like you mentioned, the punters panel is on YouTube to watch. And Frank had some good stats about soft ground and horses with low weights. But I really like Coco Beach here. Just he's a genuine horse who runs his race. He won the Tri-Town and Heavy, beating Limerick Lace, who's also well touted for this. And he had a great run in the Beecher. So, you know, he takes the defences. He won a good cross-country at Punchestown, and I actually fancy him to win at Cheltenham. He just loves soft ground, loves, you know, marathon trips. Jordan Gayford's going to get a cracking ride off him. He is high in the weights, but he's just going to relish the test.
Happy days. All right, Coco Beach is your main pick. Okay, back to you, Rory. Your tri-cast, please. We know, obviously, Panda Boy first. Who finishes second and third?
Well, I was originally Harry Queen on Desert Moor House, sneaking in with one or two non-runners in this race. That hasn't happened. Listen, if you like his chances based on Leopard Sign of Christmas, then you've got to give Meeting of the Waters a chance as well. Again, gets in off a low weight. He's only a 7-year-old. They can't win the race, but of course, Noble Yeats proved that's no longer the case. Or he was just a massive blot a couple of years ago. I think 7-year-olds, we're getting to the stage now where they will be winning Grand Nationals, and Meeting of the Waters would be one you'd have to have on your side there. And for third, Cocoa Beach is very close to it. He's very close to it, I have to say.
Or not.
But I'm just gonna bypass him and go for looking at two, trying to decide between the pair of them.
Rory's choice here.
I'm gonna pick Galia de la Toe in there.
Fran Berry had her in the place as well. Yeah, Fran Berry this morning earlier on in the Fridays with Fran, he had Galia de la Toe running a big race. So
I've just come round to her in the last day or two. I saw someone else tip her up during the week and I thought I can't really have her. And then when I was looking for her in the weights, this is the key. I'm looking at around number 10 or 12 for her name. And actually, she's number 30 with 10 stone 7 for a grade one mare, as she has been in the past. I thought she was on a decent looking mark. And obviously she was second over 3 mile 5 at Warwick in the Classic Chase early in the season. You just got to forgive her that poor run at Exeter after that, which I suppose the argument there is, although she's won once right-handed, her two worst efforts have come at right-handed tracks. She was very disappointing, of course, in the Cotto Star when really strongly fancied for that as a novice, jumping really badly, whereas her jumping is normally really good left-handed. So I think the key to her might just be keeping her on a left-handed track. And these skeletons, they know what they're doing with horses, don't they?
They're all right, aren't they? She's handicapped, say, all right. Okay, Panda Boy first, Meeting the Water second, Galley de la Toe third is Roy DeLargy's TriCast in the National. Joe Logue's TriCast in the National is?
Second's going to be Limerick Lace anyway, PK. Yeah, look, she has a nice lightweight. It's kind of the opposite of Cocoa Beach, really. But look, I think she was impressive at Cheltenham, needing every yard of the 2.5 mile trip, beating Dino Blue that day. And look, she's related to Proper Stairs. She's from the family of... I like the way you're thinking, and I know the way you're thinking, who we all know get further in 3 miles. She was second in the Troy Town to Cocoa Beach. She was really well back that day, off a mark of 141, Aidan Kelly taking off 5. Look, again, the trip is a little bit of an unknown, especially on the ground, but on breeding, she should be banged there. And, you know, Frank Berry came out during the week and said that Paul Townend's picked Diane Maximus, and Mark got the choice of the rest of JP's, and he's picked Limerick Lace. So, look, that can only be a good thing. Third is going to be, kind of have my eye on him for a long time, and he's not overlooked in the market by any means. But Vanilla, I think, is one that's very interesting again from the Cromwell Yard. He could have the second and third here, according to my book. But he was 15 lengths down nearly at the last fence last year, and he finished with a rattle, but could only manage second. Since then, on the form book, he's been very disappointing. But this has just been the plan, hasn't it? Cromwell's an amazing target trainer. I just think he has to go close. Look, I couldn't put anyone off him. And again, it's more of a selection that, because I've been looking at him for so long for this race, I kind of don't want to abandon him now. So Cocoa Beach, Limerick Lace, and Vanillier for me.
There you go. That's Joe's 1, 2, 3 for the
it's
National.
He's only gone Vanillier there for third because Fakir Delain didn't make the company, and otherwise it would have been the first three from the Troy side, wouldn't it?
The only race Joe watches all year.
Yeah.
just watch the Troy. There's your top three in the National, lads. There you go. Forget about the rest of the season. That's it. Done. Lovely. So Gavin Cromwell, God, he'd be good at second and third there, according to Joe. Or maybe it's not a lot of prize money, but so close. But a winner with Cocoa Beach, Gordon's fourth National. He got two with Tiger Roll, one with Silver Birch. He hasn't had another one, has he?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it would be his fourth. Should he do it? Okay, right. That's the Grand National wrapped up beautifully. And not a single mention, not an utterance, not a word for Cora Crambler, interestingly. Say no more. It's interesting. We've got the races that kind of everyone forgets about, the two after the National, but let's try and find a couple of winners. One of them is a great one. It's the McGull Novice Chase over 2 miles. The Arkell of Aintree found a 50, 9-4. Etalon for Dan Skelton, 5-1. 11-2, Urquhart de Soy. It is 8-1, Liberty Hunter. 10-1, Jello. Matata's 10s, as is Nickelback and Quilixios. All right, Joe, you're back up for the McGull.
Yeah, tough enough race again. Bound of 50 is the favourite here, I'd imagine. Look, ran a cracker in the Arkell, in fairness. I was a bit concerned with his jumping out to the right, going left-handed around Cheltenham. But look, he's well beaten by Gaelic Warrior, but did run well. Again, I know I put up Cocoa Beach for the National. Again, it's a little bit concern of the stable form. So I'm kind of looking to avoid him, really, to be honest. And I'm going to side with my selection for the Arkell, and that was Quilixios. I don't know what Rachel Blackmore was doing at the start here on Quilixios, because like, you could tear up your docket straight away. She was left 8 or 10 lengths down as soon as they jumped. She just kind of seemed to be distracted or something, I don't know, and kind of missed the break.
Yeah, she thought it was going to be a full start.
Oh, did she?
It was going to be a full start, and I think Rachel decided, right, well, this isn't a go. And then it was.
Right.
That was it.
Interesting. And then he was hampered by Fowler to second as well, and that was curtains for his chances. Look, I'm inclined to draw a line through it. People always look at how horses finish a race, but you know, how they start a race is as important. And he had no chance from the start by my book. So look, I thought he improved at Nace before Cheltenham, dropping back to 2 miles. I think his jumping solid. I think he'd be able to get a nice position here if he jumps off properly. And yeah, look, I think it's more of a negative stable form for Found of 50, and the fact that he jumps out to his right on a tighter track than Cheltenham. So yeah, look, I think it's a tough race to pick the winner, but Quilixios is about 10-1. Again, we can play it each way, 10 runners here. So, yeah, Quilixios 10-1 each way is the way I'm going.
What is interesting, the stewards had Henry de Bromhead in after the Arkell to ask for the horse's, the explanation for the horse's poor form. I would have thought that he would have just gone, look at the start of the race, lads, see you later.
You have to say that if you don't mention the horse started slowly, you can get in trouble even if the horse started slowly. I remember when the rule came in, maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, I remember Barry Hills at a two-year-old who missed the break completely on his debut and then won next time out, and they had him in saying, explain the improvement in form. He goes, well, the horse missed the break on debut. They said, well, you didn't mention that.
Jeez, didn't know debut, that at all.
So you're getting fined for it.
Well, like, actually, to I'm going off the Race and Post comments. Trainer had no explanation for the poor form shown at Cheltenham. And I'm just like, what? I mean, one, why was he asked? Two, he should have then said one of the two things that you mentioned, Joe, the horse is hampered as well. So really curious. Like,
it's because when the races are jumping at Cheltenham, where, you know, it's obviously hectic in the trading room, and we're making sure that the exchange goes in running and that everything goes off site. And then, you know, you're kind of missed maybe the first 15 seconds of the race, and looking up at the TV is kind of, Jesus, where's Quilixios gone? And then came into picture. She had to use loads of gas to get up there, and then was hampered by a faller to second, and that was it.
That was it. Game over. All right, Rory, your take on the McGull?
I think reasonably straightforward, but I think that the selection is fairly straightforward here. I don't see how Nickelback can be a double figure price when he's absolutely bolted up in a grade one already this season. Was immediately put aside for this. Sarah Humphrey said after he won the Scilly Isles that he wouldn't go to Cheltenham. She didn't think the track would suit him, and he would go to Aintree instead, and he'd be prepared for that. And he won that by, the race was over at halfway virtually, wasn't it, at Sandown? And it wasn't a case of him catching them on the hop. He's just, when he gets into a rhythm, he's an exceptionally hard horse to catch. And although he was beaten once or twice earlier in the season, he made a couple of mistakes at Newbury when Hermes Allen beat him, and he would have turned that form around had, you know, the latter not had that fatal fall at Sandown. He ran very well at Kempton in between times, and Aintree and Softbride will suit him really well. I don't think he's particularly happy going right-handed as he showed at Kempton, but still ran with credit there and showed real guts. And he's nice and fresh for this. I don't think this is a great collection of two-milers. I have the same slight concerns about Found of 50, who's the obvious form horse in the race. He did run well in the Arkell, but I'm not sure that the entry will suit him ideally. And although Quilixios had those, I ended up backing him in the Arkell, essentially on the back of Joe's recommendation, because I didn't like anything else in the race. And I came round to him, even though I thought it was a bit of a negative. I thought even with the excuses he had, he didn't show an awful lot through the middle part of the race. I know you can very easily put a line through it, but Often I'll see a race like this and go, right, I'll forgive that and back him next time. I wasn't inclined to back Kolexios again after the way he shaped in the Arkle. I don't think he's got the natural tour for 2 miles anymore. So I'm less forgiving than Joe is. And I just think, you know, Nickelback, he can't afford to get any of these fences wrong, but he's fundamentally a very bold jumper. He's just sometimes a bit impetuous is what you might describe him as, but he's best just being given his head and allowed to jump his fences. And obviously, if he gets one wrong, it can be disastrous for him. He can lose all his momentum, but he didn't get any wrong last time. He didn't get any wrong when he bolted up on debut at Stratford. I think it was at Warwick he bolted up, and then he won again at Stratford, with Shikam, one of your good horses in behind him that day. And yeah, his form stacks up really well. I don't think he can really be a 10 to 1 shot in this race, and he must be my choice as a result.
Nickelback for Rory in the McGull. And if you back him and he wins, don't forget to buy tickets for their upcoming dates in Manchester, Glasgow and London and Birmingham in late May. There you go. If you do fancy seeing, I only know two of their songs. One where he holds the photograph and then never made it as a wise man. Couldn't cut it as a poor man something. Anyway, Nickelback. Right, one more race, the 5:35, which is the concluding race of the Aintree Festival. It is the Bumper. It's a Grade 2 and Mr. Meggett for John Joe O'Neill, Junior and Senior, in those late Trevor Hemmings colours, is 2 for 2 and the 15-8 favourite. 15-2, Moshan 2. Ollie Murphy's got Castle Ivers at 9-1. Where's Willie Mullins? He doesn't seem to have a runner. He won the first race of the festival, by the way. Just a heads up. Because I know this isn't your real bag, Rory, I'm going to go to Joe first.
Not entirely my bag either, to be honest. Look, obviously priced a lot of English racing, but I'd be a lot more comfortable with Irish bumpers than I would be English bumpers. But the one that clearly stood out to me is a miss in the market. And look, it is the favourite, Mr. Meggett. He's won very easily twice. He was impressive at Carlisle. He won by 12 lengths. Form looks good. The second, third and fourth have all won over hurdles since. And then he came up and hosed up on the bridle under a penalty at Doncaster on bottomless ground, which bode well here. Nothing has come out and run since that. So the form is a bit of an unknown, but still with a penalty, it was very impressive. Like, if anyone hasn't seen it, go and watch it back. He just didn't break sweat. But, you know, 15-8 in what? How many runners is there here? 19-runner bumper? It wouldn't be for me. I think he's the most likely winner, but he's not a bet of 15-8.
That's fine. You don't have to have an opinion in every race. Mr. Meggett, Mr. McGate, McGate, McGate. Rory?
Yeah, I think you should have stopped with the last race, to be honest.
Yeah.
Rory's going to put
terrible,
the mockers on the John Joe
horse, isn't he? Climax to go from the Grand National to a Grade 1 novice to a bumper.
We already have too many bumpers anyway. Arguably, there should be four a season. There you go. We'll get that passed. Okay, look, I'm not even going to waste time. No selection of bumper?
No selection for me in the bumper, no.
That's fine. Absolutely fine. We will be your best bets on Saturday's card at Aintree. And where will it be? Who will it be? Let's go, Joe Logue. Nap of Saturday, please.
I'll go to Rory first, because if he naps Brighter Days Ahead, I won't nap Caudill Potter. So I'll give Rory.
You don't fancy a battle. You don't fancy head-to-head.
We want to give people choice. I mean, my nap would be Caudill Potter. I've played the case earlier. I think he's really solid. But again, I don't want to go against Rory either, if that makes sense. I suppose we can give a nap next best. Caudill Potter, nap of Saturday, next best. Would probably be, I'm after digging a hole for myself here. Hidden Valley Lake.
Go for the Grand National.
Nap Caudill Potter, next best Hidden Valley Lake in the Liverpool Hurdle.
Okay, all right. So those are in the Coy Potters in the 155 and Hidden Valley Lake in the 305. Roy, your nap on Saturday?
I'm napping Panda Boy.
He's gone the national. No mucking about in the Grand National, Panda Boy, and hopefully he remains a double figure price for it. Brilliant stuff, lads. Really appreciate having a good look at all. Well, we looked at Saturday, but as I said, we recorded on Thursday. We have just seen in the background Ilite Tomp win the first race of the Aintree Festival. For that man, Willie Mullins, one wonders how many more races he's going to win over the course of the next few days. Lads, where are you going to watch the national? Where are you going to watch the national, Joe Logue?
You're going, everyone's going to think I'm a Dosser PK, but I'm actually off on Saturday. Been off a lot the last few weeks, which is unreal. The fellow who does the road in work texts me and he said, do you want Grand National Saturday off? I said, yeah, I'll take it if it's going. So I'll probably watch it at home and then go for a few pints because we have a work night out after. So I might start a little bit early. And
you're coming into work for the drinks.
The drinks and pizza, Rory. Yeah.
Where's the night out? I don't see any invites in my emails. Is it Niall O'Reilly I need to ask?
I suppose you could request there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So
you could try that.
Where is it?
Ranelagh, I think.
Good location.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. There's loads of pubs in Ranelagh. Come on.
Yeah, you'll have to find us, PK.
Right. In I pop into McSorley's, Smith's. It'll be one of those two. I guess it's only going to be one of those two, right? Right. Will you enjoy your day off watching the National? Rory DeLargy?
I shall hopefully be watching it here in sunny Hampshire, just to clarify where I am. Although I shall be heading off to, oh Lord, possibly Dorset or possibly Somerset, sort of the Somerset-Dorset border in the evening.
Oh.
So, you know, just, I know you like to know where I am.
Yeah.
We've been invited for the weekend by friends who live down that neck of the woods near Salisbury Racecourse. Not that near, obviously, because, you know, people say, well, I think if I'm in Salisbury, it's nowhere near Dorset, but it's not that far away from Salisbury, so.
Those people have to check their priorities if that's the case. I'm going to be watching on my phone in Glendalough. I have not done well here, lads. I've really, really had a bad one. Basically, she's
who do you like for PK? Who are you going to be looking out for on the phone? We're putting you on the spot now. You surely have one picked out, do you?
You've definitely put me. I'm just going to piggyback. Rory's quite sweet on Panda Boys. I'm just going to back that.
Yeah, and if you watch on your phone, what you want is a sort of a grey horse in grey colours.
Exactly.
You can spot fairly easily.
Exactly. Yeah. So the missus, in one of the WhatsApp groups, there's a lad who's a mad fan of he's ex actually Special Forces. He's great crack and he used to be out in Bosnia and stuff. And he's just a mad, but he's great fun. And he just sent on this. There's a bushwhacker trial. Like you learn about all the skills about lighting fires and putting up tents and all this sort of crack in Wicklow. I was like, yeah, sounds great. Yeah, good skills to know. Did I look at the date? No, I didn't. So I'll be watching. So when I've built lit my fourth fire or failed to, I'm going to go, sorry, bud, you can stop talking to me there. Yeah, I have to watch this race. Sorry. I'm pretty sure you get the internet in Glendalough. It'll be absolutely fine, right?
Is famous for its internet.
Famous for good service. Oh, I've had an absolute mare. But then the Leinster game...
He's actually
Leinster
the patron saint off the internet, isn't he?
Yeah. The Leinster game's at 5:30, so we should be done by then. At least I'll get to one of the local boozers and I'll be able to watch that at 5:30. So I got my priorities for Leinster game, but that I've had an absolute shocker there. I really, really have. But anyway, typical. You don't just say yes to something that looks good. Look at the dates. God damn it. Well, lads, enjoy the National. Thanks a million for your 1, 2, 3. We'll be back next week looking ahead to, I imagine, the flat is back. And then, of course, got Punchdown still to come, so still plenty more jumps racing. Enjoy yet another weekend off, Joe Logue. Disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Don't know how you do it.
I'm in early Sunday morning, though, after the pint, so I've drawn a short straw there.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Oh, you can have Saturday off. Yeah, you're in first thing Sunday. Yeah. all right. Yeah, no, I can see what they've done there. I've done that before, having done many a roster. I've done that before. Dangle a carrot, but then there's a bite.
You won't want there, Joe. You won't want a disqualification in the Grand National on Saturday. Then that'll be fun to come into fielding all the queries.
Oh, stop. Yeah, imagine it.
Stewards inquiry, disqualified horse, and a three-way dead heat for fifth or sixth. What you want. And then it says I'm on 100s each way. Why am I only getting like whoever had to deal with that 8:30 Wolverhampton last week. God. For those who missed, did you see that, Rory?
I did, yeah.
Unbelievable. The contacts. I saw some of the questions coming through. The poor punters, like, a shocker.
What I thought was most shocking about that it's very easy to say, it was a disgrace that happened. I thought the starter did what the starter should have done. It actually was a false start.
Yeah.
None of the jockeys knew the rule.
Yeah, very few did.
You can't pass the post. It's kind of, it doesn't happen very often, but you'd like to think they'd be better informed than they are.
It was interesting, though, because I saw an ex-jockey on Twitter saying that usually on, like, you know, straight tracks, you have to go back to the stalls, whereas they obviously thought that just looping around the all-weather track is the quickest way to go and forgot about it. So that was a headache. I was actually off for that as well, PK. So
you're off for that. Come on, Joe. You're so boy. That was a headache. Do you even work? Like, it's really the question at this stage. Listen, lads, I'll let you go. Busy weekend for you, particularly you, Joe. Right. Enjoy your weekends. Rory, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week. Joe, we'll speak to you when you're next on the podcast. Have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy the National, and we'll be talking to you next week.